Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We take our talents to the other side of the field. We get a Detroit mindset here. We are now joined by Colton Pouncey, beat writer for the Lions with the Athletics, with the Athletic. Colton, I got to ask, man, there's a big one in Columbia this weekend. I know you got some Mizzou ties, buddy. Alabama going to get shown up by Eli and company?
I think they might, man. I'm going to be at the game, actually.
Oh, really?
Perfectly. I've not been to a game in Columbia since I was in college. So it worked out perfectly this weekend. Definitely going to be there. I'm hoping for it, man.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And these tickets are expensive this weekend, so
yeah.
I personally would love to see it. Yeah,
you gonna get some Shakespeare's or Gumby's while you're out there?
Oh yeah, definitely, no doubt.
What
yeah.
did you pay to get in?
I think my tickets were like $165, and I feel like all the construction is making ticket prices higher this year. I don't know. I feel like when I was in college, it was like $40, but
yeah,
I guess
right.
the price being good too.
Everything's more expensive since the last time we were in college. Right. All right, let's right. look at the game at Arrowhead on Sunday night, and you look at the Lions obviously coming in as an underdog. We've been trying to figure out all week, why do you think the Chiefs are a favorite in this game?
You know, I think maybe the timing of, you know, that game against the Jaguars, they're probably going to be pretty pissed off coming into that one. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously the Chiefs get up for big games, and the Lions certainly would qualify as that, and they're probably not trying to get shown up on their own field, and would come out pretty motivated knowing, you know, hey, we lost a couple games here. We've got to get back on track. They do a good job of that over there. So maybe that's why, you know, I look at the Lions situation, left tackle Taylor Decker, he's probably going to be listed as questionable if I had to guess. If he's not out there, this Lions offense, you know, he didn't play against the Bengals. They had some struggles, even though they still put up 37. I know that sounds weird. So maybe that factors in a little bit, but, yeah, I mean, I do think that where the Lions are at, they're probably more equipped right now to handle a Chiefs team than they would be in the past. So I think it's going to be a good game regardless.
When you look at this matchup, I saw something on the On 33 graphic where the Chiefs in week 5 had the best offensive line pressure. Lions were 28th, obviously with bye weeks, you'll have everybody playing. Is there a concern with the offensive line in Detroit?
You know, they're working in some new pieces. They have a really young interior outside of Grant Glasgow, the center who took over for Frank Ragnow. But next to him, he's got two young guards, two first-year starters, one rookie, Tate Ratledge, and a second-year guard in Christian Mahogany. So those guys are kind of, you know, getting their feet wet in the NFL, and there's been some ups and downs along the way. And then again, yeah, if Taylor Decker can't go, the guy they had replacing him last week was a second-year tackle, Giovanni Manu, who went to British Columbia, played Canadian college football, and was very raw coming out of the draft in 2024. That was his first career start, and he gave up some pressures and a couple sacks. So, yeah, I mean, this offensive line, it doesn't look maybe as dominant as it did last year, but I still think they've got some dudes, and, you know, they trust those guys for sure.
And also, too, not just the offensive line beat up, the secondary is beat up as well. How is that going to factor in this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big factor, honestly. The Lions, they're known for man coverage. They've played man coverage for years under Aaron Glenn when he was the DC, and then Kevin Shepherd now that he's taken over. So without Terrion Arnold, their first-round pick in 2024, and then DJ Reed, the big free agent addition this offseason, it's going to look a lot different. They like Amik Robertson, who played in that division out there with the Raiders and came over to the Lions last year. He's been playing nickel, but they moved him outside out of necessity. And then Rocky Sin is probably going to get the start opposite of him. So those are, you know, your CB3, your CB4. Mm-hmm. And going against some receivers with track speed and Pat Mahomes, obviously, it's going to be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, you look at that challenge. We look at the challenge of the two-headed monster that you have in the backfield with those two studs that run the ball. How do you stop Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, if that's possible?
Yeah, you know, teams have not had a lot of success doing that this year. I think, like, you know, they keep them so fresh. That's the thing. So, like, Jahmyr might take the first quarter, and Montgomery might take the second, and then they kind of alternate different drives throughout the game. So they're both fresh by the end. And I think the way they've been doing it this year, in the past, it was like, David would get the first quarter and the first junk carries. Now he's sort of the closer. So when teams are tired from chasing Jahmyr around, David can come in and just kind of, you know, bulldoze them at the end of a game, kind of demoralize them. We saw that against the Ravens on Monday Night Football. So, you know, that Chiefs defense, they've allowed, I think, 4.8 yards per carry this year. I do think the Lions can have success on the ground. And I think if they want to keep Pat Mahomes off the field, that's the way you do it. You sustain drives. You use the run game, and when you get to the red zone, you really have to capitalize there with touchdowns and not field goals.
What are fans feeling this week up there about this game? Are they looking at the Chiefs as a wounded duck? Are they looking at this Chiefs team as somebody like, oh, my God, we got to take these seriously? Like, what's the fan vibe right now?
Yeah, I think Lions fans perpetually live in fear sometimes.
Right. So, so did we for a very long time, and there's still some of us that are living in fear here in Kansas City. Yeah. Colton?
Yeah. No doubt. I just think that's part of the franchise sometimes. But, you know, I think they're pretty confident with where things were. Definitely after week one, there's a lot of panic. And it's like, oh, no, Ben Johnson, he's gone. And Aaron Glenn, like, what are we going to do? Like, we don't look the same. What's going on? And then you win four straight, and you're feeling pretty good. So for this game specifically, you know, I think the Chiefs still present a major challenge. I mean, I'm not ready to count them out yet. They're going to win, like, they could win three in a row, and everyone would be like, yep, they're just fine.
Right.
So when I look at a game like this, I think there's an opportunity for the Lions to continue making a statement and saying, hey, we're for real. I know they were pretty mad at all the kind of offseason narratives about, oh, they're going to fall off. Dan Campbell's like a coordinator merchant. I don't know, all this talk out there. But I think in terms of the fan base, they probably feel pretty confident going into this one with what they've seen the last four games, scoring 30-plus in every one. Defense coming together, but I do think, you know, some of the issues in the secondary could present a challenge in this one. But overall, I mean, the vibes are high in Detroit. They're feeling pretty good about the team.
No doubt. Aiden Hutchinson, right? One of the best, gets double teamed on the edge, still kind of finds home. Do you guys feel that sort of fear with Chris Jones, who's gotten a lot of flack this week from media, being, you know, obviously the video of him taking the playoff, and you talk about that offensive line with young interiors. Is this a game where it's like, hey, don't forget about 95?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I promise you that's probably being said at the walls of Allen Park, Michigan, where the facility is. You know, he's a problem, man. And I don't know all the narratives going on in KC, but I promise you they're looking at the tape and seeing 95 there and saying, we got to stop him. He's one of those dudes that can wreck a game. And when you talk about the two young guards that Detroit has, he might be the best interior player they face this year, and they got to be ready for him. And if they're not, he can disrupt things. And I think the thing with Jared Goff is, you know, I think Jared is, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in football now, but he is susceptible to this sort of interior pressure. And when it gets to him, that's he can handle pressure off the edge, I think, more so than the interior. The interior stuff is really what kind of bothers him, I think, just from what I've seen. So if Chris Jones has a good game, they can make things tough for this offense.
No doubt about it, man. Enjoy that game in Columbia. I'm jealous to go out there. It'll be a hell of a time. And that's if Eli can do it and that running back Hardy can do it, that might be his Heisman moment this Saturday.
I'm hoping for it, man. I can't wait for the game. It should be a fun atmosphere. But absolutely, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for the time, Colton. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Colton Pouncey, beat writer for the Lions of The Athletic.
like that guy.
Yeah, I think he said something there that is pretty kind of telling for me. At least it kind of got my antenna up. We're talking about the secondary. When we asked about the secondary, you could hear in his voice, like, yeah, that's a problem.
He cracked the notebook immediately.
I mean, like that. I did. I cracked it right away. I said, Mac, pull that cut, because I think that's very telling of where this team is. And I think that's going to be the determining factor in this game. Like, the Chiefs need to take advantage of them having number three and number four out there at the cornerback position. I mean, we're talking about Rocky Sin. I mean, like, that guy's been in the league 1,000 years, I feel like. He said that name, I go, oh my God. I mean, like, that guy's been around forever and a day. And you've got that speed, you've got that ability, you've got that quarterback. And as you mentioned, Dusty, you got that offensive line that ain't letting anybody in the door right now, right? And so all of that to me feels like, on paper, again, this is an on paper thing, the Chiefs should be able to have a hell of a day passing. And you're probably looking at the number for Mahomes there, and you're thinking, I'll take the over on this one, because I think he's going to have a big day throwing the football. He should have a big day throwing the football. If he doesn't have a big day throwing the football, we're going to be asking ourselves on Monday morning, what went wrong, you know, that he didn't have a big day. Now, if it's in a good way and Breshard Smith is running for 200 or some yards or something, that's a different conversation, yeah, right?
Take
you'll take that every day of the week. But, I mean, if you're this offense this week, if you're Nags and you're Andy and you're Patrick and you're these guys, you're like, we got an opportunity this week, guys. Let's go out there and show everybody that we're back. And then, oh, they put up 35 against the Lions and another 500-yard offensive day. Oh, by the way, see Monday morning, who's sitting there? Rush. G. Rice is going to be sitting there as well, too. And now the rest of the league is going to poop their pants.
Be like Sam Ellinger when he was way too early with the we're back for Texas 10 years ago or whatever that was. But this time it would actually be serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Cam Newton GIF you sent us.
Yes, or the Cam Newton, yes, I'm back.
You want to play that audio that he's had for us about the
lack of corner depth? Yeah, this is him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big factor, honestly. The Lions, they're known for man coverage. They've played man coverage for years under Aaron Glenn when he was the DC, and then Kevin Shepard now that he's taken over. So without Terrion Arnold, their first-round pick in 2024, and then DJ Reed, the big free agent addition this offseason, it's going to look a lot different. They like Amik Robertson, who played in that division out there with the Raiders and came over to the Lions last year. He's been playing nickel, but they moved him outside out of necessity. And then Rocky Sin is probably going to get the start opposite of him. So those are your CB3, your CB4, mm-hmm. And going against some receivers with track speed and Pat Mahomes, obviously, it's going to be a bit of a challenge.
I mean, that's the game right there.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it
the game.
Right there.
Right there is the game. That's how you win on Sunday. The Chiefs will win if they take advantage of number three and number four in the secondary and go up over the top. And you know they're going to need somebody to fill in, so you're talking about number five. If somebody gets hurt, maybe number six.
Yeah.
So this is a very, very advantageous injuries that the Chiefs are going against this week. I'm not a root for injury guy, but when they do happen, you have to take advantage of them. The Chiefs have to exploit those cornerbacks this weekend, guys.
Well, on the other end, the offensive line, I mean, he said this is going to be the toughest challenge for those guards inside going against Chris Jones. We've been talking about Chris Jones all week. All right, bro, let's show us. Let's go.
It's shaping up, and we'll get into it in the script. I think this is the week, because Chris Jones probably looks at everybody and what they've been saying this week about him and is like, all right, enough's enough. I got to go out there and I got to take over this game.
We shall see, and we will do our best to see how accurate we can get with the script. Coming up next, brought to you by Foley here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Here we are on a Red Friday on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, you can go to YouTube, check us out, like, subscribe. Boom. It's on your screen if you want to do that. Maloney listens and then watches.
Yes, that's right. He listens to the show and then goes back and watches the show.
It's insane.
That's dedication, man. That is dedication.
What's the juice?
Oh, I just saw the Jackson Dart high five to the ref. This is so weird, right? We're sitting here in break, and you go, yeah, he high-fived the ref. I go, I missed that. I didn't see it. You know what the first thing in my feed is when I got back on X? Jackson Dart high-fiving the referee. Weird. It's not weird. They listen to everything we say on the computer, right?
Clear history.
Yeah, and that's why Jay Binkley clears the history every time he comes in here.
It was really funny when he high-fived the ref, but
he's going to get fined for it.
As a Chiefs fan, first thing I thought of was obviously, Oh, well, yeah. Mahomes did that. It would be the biggest story in the world.
Yeah, but Josh Allen's the one who consoles and gets consoled by the referees. Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
They had 13 penalties called against them the other day. Can we end the referees are in the pocket of the Chiefs narrative, or is that not? No, that's still going to be there.
Yeah, they're going to be there forever.
13 penalties to 4. I don't know how that's with you. I mean, I really don't. So that needs to end.
They are our best friend. And if you're going to have a best friend, that's a good one to have.
Hell yeah.
Sorry.
I was talking to a guy who was a referee at high-level collegiate and knows a lot of the NFL officials. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me, he goes, yeah, one day, this guy that I know was going to be an NFL official. And he said the league had the FBI show up and interview all of his neighbors to make sure that this guy was not, somebody that, could fix a game or do something that he shouldn't. And so people want to complain about these referees all the time. And I heard this story on Tuesday night from another former college official. He goes, yeah, the NFL sends the FBI to talk to your neighbors when they're interviewing you to be a referee. And so there's nobody out there that's doing anything that's not on the up and up out there on the field as much as people want to hear that. When I heard that story, I was like, holy cow. Like the NFL probably should do that right now, or any sport. If you're going to hire an official, hell yeah, you deserve a background check by the feds.
So what you're saying is, Mac, and I have to do this, I'm not trying to be a Richard, you've seen Ace Ventura?
Mm-hmm.
So every ref that gets interviewed, it's like the, what do you know about Ray Finkel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Soccer-style kickler, nicknamed the Mule, one hell of a model American.
He said,
I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
Yeah. He said that the interview to be an NFL official, they brought him in, they show you a play, right? And they say, okay, make the call. And the guy goes, well, I think it's this. And and the official goes, well, you can't think. You have to know, is it a catch or not or whatever it was. And the guy goes, I think it, or it was a face mask. They made him look. He goes, I think it may have been a face mask, but maybe not. And they go, turn around. And he turned around this huge wall of TVs as one big picture showed. He goes, oh, yeah, it wasn't a face mask. You could see that really up close. I mean, that's how they're grading these guys and judging these guys. And you don't realize this stuff is happening so fast. And this guy said to me, he goes, the difference from just going from Division II to Division I college, he goes, I couldn't keep up. It was so fast. It was so fast from Division II to Division I college. He goes, I can't imagine what it would have been like in the NFL. And these guys are right, like 90%. Of the time, but I love that story that the feds are interviewing this guy's neighbor before they would hire him to be a ref in the NFL. It's great due diligence by the league.
No,
man.
I love it. I wish the NBA did that. Meanwhile, the NBA just got Scott Frost, who's best friends with a known cheater and Tim Donaghy or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, if an NFL ref of the future, before you leave, I need to give you this index card. You never know. You might need to measure a first down.
That's right. Yeah.
You got lasers. Hey, use this, man. All right, let's get into the script. Mac, your name's at the top.
All right, big week. Let's do it, guys. The Chiefs team is better than last year. They just don't have the best luck in a season that we've ever seen, and they're a little bit more mistake-prone, okay? They're not going to lose back-to-back primetime games. That's just not going to happen. The Chiefs are going to have no more than 5 penalties on Sunday night. Last week it was 13. This week it'll be no more than 5. Chris Jones is going to look more like Chris Jones, and by that I mean you're going to have at least 2 moments of watching this game going, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. No Williams, he's actually going to play more than 4 snaps. Funny. Mahomes is going to stay at his MVP level because that's never going to change this season. He's on a heater, and he's got the receivers and the offensive line, more importantly, to do so. He will look like an MVP on Sunday night. He will throw for 3 touchdowns. Hollywood Brown will have at least 5 catches, and Breshard Smith will make a big play. The Chiefs win this one in a shootout 34-31.
I like that. All week we've been kicking dirt on Chris Jones, right? And rightfully so. He's deserved all, well, not all, like if you were on social media doing, stupid stuff, but he deserves criticism for his play and what he did on Monday night. We've also been criticizing Harry Butker all week as well. And rightfully so, kicking it out of bounds and doing all that stuff, can't do that. Because of that, though, I think we'll see their true character. And I genuinely believe that true character is good. You see the true character out of people when the chips are down. It's easy to win, right? It's easy to be a winner. It's easy to go out there and celebrate. True character shows up when you're in a tough situation. It's the toughest situation as the Chiefs have been in a while in the regular season. I think I'm with you, Mac. Chris Jones will dominate this game. We'll see a sack. We'll see a big play late, and we'll see a batted pass. He will not take plays off this week. Butker will also be solid. No one seems concerned about him inside the building, so let's see what he can do. Be clutch. He will be. Patrick Mahomes continues to do what he did last week, picks up where he left off. He'll throw for over 300. Travis Kelce gets into the end zone. So does Thornton. Chiefs win a close one, 35-0.
Maybe the hardest game to try and predict is this one. I think the Lions carve up, and I think they do that early on in their first drive. They score first. Chiefs get the ball back, and I think they score three. There's your Butker three. There's your, okay, 45. It's good, right? End of the first, I think it's 7-3 Lions. Chiefs hold on defense a few times in the second quarter and get the score just before the two-minute warning to make it a 10-10 game. Lions get in field goal range and bang, one in, 13-10 halftime for the Lions. I think they lead at half. I think it's the second half where their weaknesses show up in the secondary and Mahomes feasts on the crows that are not there and the ones that are currently in there in cornerback 3, 4, and 5, as we were told by their beat writer of The Athletic. I think it's Thornton and Juju. I think those are the guys that show up with the receivers. I'm worried about Xavier Worthy because if he is going to play, he's going to be a little banged up. Chiefs have a solid second half, but so does Detroit. I think this game is going to be a shootout in that second half. But I think the man holding the gun and standing last is 15. Chiefs win 38-30. Mahomes finally beats Jared Goff, and Butker and Jones are not a topic on Monday morning. That's my script.
Okay, love it.
I was Monday through Thursday picking the Lions.
Yeah, I know you were.
I was Thursday night. I said at home, back-to-back losses. Could that really happen? And then I thought to myself, man, that secondary is going to be open. That offensive line for the Chiefs is good. If Mahomes has time to throw, he should be able to carve. And it's carving season, baby.
It is, man. Pumpkins, turkeys. Oh, man. My mother called me last night. Usually when eggplant? My mom calls, somebody died. It wasn't about the eggplant. No, she did go to the store and take a picture of a big display of eggplants and send them to me and my wife.
That's wonderful.
Did he miss that topic?
No, I was there for that one.
Are you here for that one? Okay. So we got a picture of like all the eggplants at the grocery store. She calls last night. It's the 9th day of August or of October. We're a month and a half, 2 months roughly away from Thanksgiving. She goes, I'm sending Josh an email at Smokehouse about the turkeys this year. I want to make sure that this is an okay email to send to him.
Aww.
And so she read the email and I'm like, it was great. There's no, you didn't need to call and, you know, figure all this stuff out. You just send the damn email. Josh knows you now. He knows you're the crazy turkey lady in New Jersey.
Who emails 2 months prior.
Yeah, but she wants to make sure she's got her turkeys ready to go for Thanksgiving. And that's what you need to do, too, at SmokehouseBBQ.com. Get your turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Best turkeys in the biz.
Oh, my God, they're so good. You won't be disappointed in
that. Had one last year. It was immaculate. It was incredible. Yeah,
it's fantastic. Fantastic turkey. So that's you know, that was last night dealing with the, you know, the turkeys and all of this kind of stuff. And so I'm ready for this one this weekend, guys. I think it's a desperate game, and I think they're going to play because you see character come out when the chips are down. We'll see a true test of this Chiefs team's character this weekend, this Sunday night, and I think it's going to be glorious, man. I'm ready for this one.
From the 816, Jones gets 2 sacks, Butker walks it off with a field goal, and we all say, we're back.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go. Would love that.
That is the perfect primetime storybook ending for this one, right? Jones gets a big sack, Butker kicks the game winner. We're all happy with those guys again. Sometimes it's okay to give a little tough love. Sometimes you need it. This week, Chris Jones and Harry Butker needed the tough love.
Over under 4.5 videos on Wednesday of number 4 on the practice field.
Over.
Yeah.
I hope it's over. I want all of them.
And every capture will be, look who's back.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait. Every news outlet, every beat writer.
Well, that's the thing, man. If this offense looks like they have the last couple of weeks, they win this game back to .500.
And then you get the Raiders.
Then you get the Raiders and you're inserting a top 20 wide receiver back in the lineup.
And then you get the two bangers. You get Washington. And then Buffalo.
Yeah, and Buffalo's defense leaves a lot for me to be desired right now. And I'm not afraid of them.
No, I'm not either.
At all. I'm not
they
scared of anybody.
They don't have the easiest game on Monday night either. Let's not forget, they're playing the Falcons.
The Falcons on Monday night.
The Falcons can score. Yeah. Like you said, against that defense, Penix will throw it around.
Yeah, that defense stinks in Buffalo. There was something we were going to talk about yesterday, and we never got to. It was about the windows closing, and you had put in the doc to me, why are you down on Buffalo or whatever?
Yes.
It's because of that defense right now. I'm just not sold on Buffalo's defense being able to allow their offense to be in games with better football teams. I mean, we've seen it. How many times this year has Buffalo already had to pull a game out against a bad football team, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Twice at least already this season that we've seen them have to pull out a game against a bad football team. What if you're playing a good football team like the Kansas City Chiefs? are you going to be able to score with them? Because of the way that Buffalo's defense has played so far this season, you're going to be in a lot of shootouts. The Chiefs have a pretty damn good defense. I know we were kind of down on it in the running attack and whatnot, and James Cook is really good. We're getting way far ahead of ourselves. But Buffalo, just I don't know, man. It's just something about them right now that doesn't put the fear of God in me. And I don't know what to make of the Washington football team right now. One week they look good, and one week they look pedestrian. And
they got their quarterback back last week.
You know,
took care of business.
We'll see, you know, going forward what they're going to be like too. So that it's an interesting couple of games. You got to get through this one. You've got to take care of business this week against Detroit. Go out there and do something that I don't think, you know, I know they're the favorite, but are a lot of people picking the Chiefs to win this football game, right? If you start to look nationally, how many of the Nationals are picking the Chiefs to win this football game this week? I know Vegas is, but how many of the experts that are out there? Probably not a lot of people picking the Chiefs to win this game. Go out there and do something that you don't normally have to do. And that's kind of, you know, get a little bit of an upset. Even though you're the underdog, the overwhelming feeling is the Lions are one of the best teams in football and the Chiefs aren't playing great right now. Go flip that narrative. Go flip that script. You have an opportunity to make a statement this weekend.
Buffalo's defense, for reference, total yards, they are seventh when it comes to total yards allowed at 313 a game. Passing yards, they're second, allowing 154 a game. Rushing yards allowed, they are 28th. They allow 145.6 rushing yards. 17th in points with 22.6 allowed. So I think it's what you said, the pullout game. I mean, they don't – never. I don't know what I'm saying right there.
What?
Yeah. They don't pull it out at the end of games. Is that what you said? Whoops. Moving on.
BBL stinky. I don't even know where to go with that. Neither do you, do
well,
you,
Matt? Well, we're going to college. Yeah. Where it was great.
Just like you said, man. Pullout game.
Pullout game.
It's worse than my buddy Bill's.
I was going to say, how's yours?
Great. Mine's fantastic.
Good so far.
Mine, not so good.
Yeah.
I just want to win, Jim.
I should probably get out of here.
Man, that was great.
Are you saving that right,
oh,
right.
Oh,
now? Right now.
4 hours on the Chiefs. Remember when you guys talked about it being a pullout game? Oh, Maloney's flexing right now.
Chode.
I got stuffed mushrooms. Oh, my pullout game. Oh.
Not my finest moment.
Flex, Rob.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a new reference for the eggplant emoji. I'm sorry. Family show.
They're in school already.
There are children in the car.
Not now, they're not. No, about 8:30 is that.
Well, the reason they're in the car is because your pullout game's like the Bills. All right. Stay focused. Stay focused. Here we go.
Let's play a soundbite to give us a second here.
Oh, you want a soundbite?
Chode.
I think it's what you said, the pullout game. I mean, they don't never. I don't know what I'm saying right there.
What?
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. There's the new promo. I can just see Speck's eyes right now going, dear God, why'd I put this guy out in the mornings? Oh. I have a little bit of tears coming out.
I mean, that's a good one.
Oh, boy.
That was really good.
Okay, so let's move on.
Talk about the 3-4 defense.
Whoa. All right. Anyways, so college this weekend, right? Pretty big slate starting at 11 o'clock. Missouri, Alabama, Ohio State, and Illinois. And then KU has a big one in Texas Tech, right? Like, they got to play a team that's pretty damn good, 9th ranked overall. But to me, when we stay local for these teams with Missouri and Kansas, and I was the guy early in the year that said, Eli, it's time to show what you want Mizzou to be. And this is a game where Alabama comes to town. I think last year they beat them like 35-0. It was a blowout, or 2 years ago, whatever it was. And this is a game where I've talked to a lot of Mizzou friends of mine where in the past, maybe you're like, yeah, it's 11. I'll keep an eye on it. I'll, you know, do the cleaning and stuff around the house, you know, get, you know, whatever, but keep an eye on it. No. This is appointment television, because if Mizzou is this team that has arrived in the SEC as a team that wants to be respected, if they win this game, I think there is a really good chance that the declaration I made to Eli Drinkwitz this year was get to a football playoff, get to the playoffs.
they beat Alabama, they probably will go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
They'll have Oklahoma still on the schedule, right? That's another big game as well. But, man, this game against Alabama, if Ahmad Hardy can be that guy and have his moment, and they've got two good running backs, but Hardy's the guy that's leading the nation in rushing yards. If you go out there against Alabama and do your job and live up to what you've been doing all year, then you're going to have a lot of people starting to shift gears and say, maybe this isn't a year quarterback wins the Heisman Trophy. This kid just ran for 158 against Alabama. And then all of a sudden you're looking at Eli Drinkwitz going, maybe now he started to kind of put Missouri in front of the pack and kind of put them as a team in the SEC that's not in that second tier, but is starting to get more recognition in that upper tier. They will then be a top 10 team if they beat Alabama. They will probably make the college football playoff. And Eli Drinkwitz all of a sudden has that hill that he's gotten over that's been, you know, our guy that was before him. And everybody always goes back to, you know,
Odom.
Yeah, no, not Odom.
Barry Odom. He was the coach before Drinkwitz.
But I'm talking about the GOAT in Mizzou.
Oh, Pinkel.
Pinkel. Couldn't think of his name for some reason. But that's always been there. It's always been, man, the Pinkel years, Chase Daniel, James Franklin, all these guys. And now all of a sudden you get this Bo Pibula kid from Penn State. Penn State chose the wrong quarterback.
Clearly.
And now all of a sudden
they should have gone with that kid from UCLA, left Tennessee.
And they've got Pibula at quarterback. They got Hardy at running back. And if their defense can show up on Saturday, Mizzou has a really big chance nationally, not just locally, to start putting a lot of focus in Columbia.
Yeah, it's one of those games, though, if you're the Missouri Tigers, like, this is your opportunity to go from a nice, okay, hey, how you doing, to, okay, now you've this is an arrival game, I think, from
the
Missouri
Tigers. Yeah, you're
done
playing teams that rest their starters in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
Now you're into the tier where it's like, okay, Mizzou's going to play whoever, and if they win this game, they're going to be in the Final Four.
It's one of the biggest games that Eli Drinkwitz has had an opportunity to win at the University of Missouri.
It is the biggest game of his coaching career.
It probably is. Yeah, you win this game against Alabama, it does put you in a different, you know, category, because I think the biggest knock, if you want to say that, because he's done a nice job down there, but it's like, you can't beat that big-time opponent, right? You're not beating the Alabamas. You're not winning those big games that we want you to win. You're still in that second tier. You win this game, and then everybody in the SEC is going to be talking about, okay, now Missouri's part of this conversation, and it's a legit program that is now part of the SEC race. I think it's a big program game for the University of Missouri. It's a big game for Drinkwitz. It's a big game for everybody down there in Columbia. There's so much on the line from a positive standpoint if they go out there and win, much like Kansas going to Texas Tech. I mean, if Kansas wins that game in Lubbock over the weekend, that's a huge program win for them.
And that's the thing, too. I don't necessarily think Kansas has to win that game for Lance Leipold to kind of keep his, you know, chains moving in Lawrence. But you're a 14-point underdog. Mm-hmm. We know what Texas Tech is. We had Alex Golden here. By the way, he'll be at CUNY America Credit Union today. And Raymore.
So if
you want to go see Cody and Gold, go to Raymore. If you
get Alex's
there,
number.
You could. He's got people's girlfriends watching the show. It's a fact. We got it yesterday. But you look at the flip side of this with Kansas. If they can go be competitive with Texas Tech, they're 14-point underdogs, and Texas Tech is damn good, right? Ninth team in the nation. They've got a lot of money going to that school.
So they just got a $50 million donation the other day. Like, it's nobody's business.
Right. And I'll just take a mil if you're giving it out. And so you go, you know, kind of show up and don't be like, hey, we're – because KU has two losses, right?
Yeah.
They've lost to Cincinnati, who's no slouch, and they lost to Missouri, who we just talked about, who is also no slouch.
Yeah, that Cincinnati loss isn't that big of a loss.
Not anymore.
That's not a bad deal. You know?
And they had that game. Like, they had that Cincinnati game. And the thing about, or they had a chance at least, but the thing about this is, like, where Missouri's standards are because of what they built with Eli Drinkwitz in this team is now you have to beat Alabama, right? In my personal opinion, to kind of get that respect and recognition of a university in football in the SEC. Whereas Kansas, you're still kind of moving forward under the Lance Leipold reign, where, like, if you just go to Texas Tech and let's say you give them fits and headaches and you kind of stay competitive in this game and you don't live up to the line of 14 and a half dogs, you're going to gain a lot of traction in that as well. And then who knows, man? Everything gets weird in college football. If there is a somewhat lively chance that they upset Texas Tech, then you're literally talking about KU winning the Big 12.
No doubt.
And that's insane with football.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy because it's usually basketball where they're winning the Big 12. But no, it's a big opportunity for them. But I do think if you're ranking opportunities this weekend, Missouri probably has one of the biggest opportunities in the country
huge,
this weekend.
Man,
to change everybody's
in
narrative,
Columbia.
Right? In Columbia, your fans are there. People are excited for this game. And it's a big one, right? Obviously, Alabama. You go from being a secondary school in the SEC to being a top-tier school in the SEC. Perception is everything, right? And your perception is going to change dramatically with a win over Alabama, more so than anybody could ever expect. And when you look at Kansas with Texas Tech, if they win that game, it'll change a little bit, but it won't be like beating Alabama. I mean, for God's sakes, it's Al-freaking-Bama. You know, that's a big-time program that you went out there and beat. So that's it's an opportunity day for the University of Missouri. Does Kansas State play this weekend, or have they dissipated?
Alabama 3-point favorites against Mizzou. Moving on to the KU game, where that line is, I think it's still 14.5, trying to find it down there somewhere. Obviously, the Red River Shootout is going to be big. Indiana and Oregon at 2:30. That's a big one.
Yeah. Whoever thought Indiana Oregon would, first of all, be a big game, second of all, be a Big Ten game.
K State plays at 2:30 on this station, 96.5. You're home for K State Athletics. They play TCU at home this week. They are a 1.5 point underdog at home against TCU, man. Dude.
Yeah, things aren't good in Manhattan right now.
No, but it'll all be taken over whenever the quarterback will take over that job.
Yeah, Colin Klein.
Yeah.
You're a K-Stater over there. You got some K-State. Are they begging for Colin Klein?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had Mackenzie Nelson in a week ago, and she's like, we're all ready for it.
Yeah, they're all ready for it. Just that's the worst, though, man. What if he stinks? You know, that's the problem. That's why you don't hire your guys to be your managers or your coaches.
How do we lead the show? Youth and coaching has shown that it can be okay.
Yeah. But if things go south, how do you fire one of your greats, you know, somebody that everybody loves?
And then that's how you're remembered.
And that's how you're remembered. Yeah, because nobody ever factors in, what if something goes wrong here? You know, like, oh, let's go do this. Yeah, but you're not factoring, what if it doesn't work? Or what if the vote fails and now you have to build a stadium in Kansas? Like, people don't factor in the negative a lot, right? What if Colin Klein doesn't do good? It's a hard situation,
And I always go back to Peyton Manning talking about, you know, why don't you coach in Tennessee? He's like, why would I coach there? They like me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is. It's true. It's 100%
George never
true.
Became the manager. Well, same explanation.
Yeah.
Every Thursday and Friday, we talk about college football because we get ready for the weekend. And college football coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your college team, catch every play, and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanner locations. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. We give you our Chiefs parlay on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear from ESPN's Nate Taylor every Thursday at 8:20, right here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
What's this song called? Pull Out Game. Yes. My buddy Robert goes, hey, my daughter Olivia's in the car. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. He goes, of course you picked the one day she's in the car and we're getting the oil changed and the kids are out of school. They get like every Friday off.
Yeah, today, I forgot about that. Today is an off day. Olathe and Shawnee Mission are both off today.
Must be nice.
Yeah, the hell?
It's teacher work day and stuff like that you know, contracted in. And so the students are off today.
You're married to a teacher.
That's right.
If we have like an out of office day,
right?
We're gonna do our 2 hours, and then we're gonna do that at like 8 a.m. and 10 o'clock. We're out,
right?
Do they have a standard time they have to go to the office?
Well, no, it's a teacher work day, and you can work from home if you want. You know, one of those days on your own, you know, type of day. So all the teachers are working at home, or you know, getting together and doing classes and things of that nature today to maximize that time.
Yeah.
Some of them make you go. There's some that you do have to go into the school.
Yeah, I wonder. Just like you have to show your face.
Look
pretty for a half a minute and then be like, all right, see you guys later.
But some people have principals, like they'll schedule meetings and stuff like that. You know, what are you doing here? Read the room, you know?
Yeah, come on, man.
Now Alex is texting me, pull out game, better be strong. Here we are. We can't end this one.
I know that I'm hard.
Well. So he goes, my plug game's undefeated. I back out of the garage better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence is off. I wasn't lying. I said the car is full of kids. Dusty, again, I'm sorry. It's a family show.
Yeah, well.
Family friendly. somebody says, crap, Mac's back. Can you get Nathan to pick the parlay?
So I can't cue that up any better.
That's great.
Bob, what's the leg of the parlay that you start with?
We go, speaking of legs, I'm going to go with Travis Kelce, and I am going to go with an anytime touchdown for Travis Kelce in this week's game against the team from Detroit, the Detroit Lions. So I am going to go with Travis Kelce and an anytime touchdown this week.
I'm going to kind of piggyback on that. I'm going to go with Mahomes over 1.5 touchdowns thrown.
Okay.
I'm just reading the room the best way I possibly can.
Is that minus 185 that I'm seeing? Mm-hmm. Holy shnikes.
We were waiting on Max because he's got his getting ready to come up. I put yours and I's together, and it's plus 184 alone. If you want to just do both of those, like you're not getting a lot of skin, but you're
plus 184 is still decent enough. I mean,
you're winning,
yeah,
right? You're on the plus side of money,
yeah.
But look, that secondary's beat up. It's Sunday Night Football. It's an Arrowhead. 15's pissed. I think he could find the end zone twice, and if he does, hopefully one of those times is to Travis Kelce.
Yeah, see, I think over 300 yards is probably a good bet for 15 as
I
well.
I almost took his combined rushing and passing yards what at 280.
It? Oh, I would go over that. Yeah,
and it was like minus 105. So I was like, eh. So
it's not good enough juice.
The fact that 185 is a number for over 1.5 touchdowns, though, but I do think we see Mahomes find Pater twice with his arm. He could also these are passing touchdowns, so he can't use his legs.
Can't use his legs.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
All right.
Mac, what do you have?
I mean, it's a Kelce Mahomes parlay. That's really what we have to choose from. If you've looked at this game, it's kind of there's not a lot of props out because of the Xavier Worthy injury, so we can't bet on.
But
Thornton
they have him as an anytime touchdown score, which is so bizarre.
So what is that at?
It's like plus 280 or
that's
something.
That's
like
not.
That
it is worth a sawbuck. High.
It's plus. Is it plus 185?
He is anytime plus 150.
150. Wow.
Okay.
But we don't know if
what
he's
was Cam
play.
Scataboo last night for an anytime touchdown.
I saw him live at like plus 180, but I don't know what it was before the game.
I wonder what it would have been like if you could wager him to score three or more touchdowns.
Which is funny because somebody had a meme out yesterday that was Saquon Barkley, three touchdowns scored, and it was, I think, plus 2,000.
Wow.
And it turned out it was Scataboo who had the three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Which that would have been like probably plus 5,000.
Yeah, probably something astronomically
high. You just don't see it very often unless it's Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Hopefully, don't play him in fantasy this week. But yeah, so you have Kelce over 46.5 yards.
Yep.
I have Mahomes over 1.5 touchdowns thrown. And Bob has Travis Kelce anytime touchdown.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, has hit twice in 5 weeks.
It has, yeah, yeah. Travis Kelce, I think, is going to have another big game, too, because this guy is at home again. We're starting to dwindle down his home games.
His fiancée will be there watching him as well.
Oh, is she going to be there?
I would assume.
I would assume so, but she's kind of been doing the circuit this week, you know, with the late-night shows and whatnot. And so
she was on, what, Kimmel and Seth Meyers? Is that right?
I think – no, I saw – yeah, Kimmel, and she wasn't on with – No, she was on Fallon.
Fallon, that's right. Fallon.
Yeah, she wasn't on Kimmel. She was on Fallon. I saw her.
So, yeah, that is our Chiefs parlay brought to you by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be is coming to Missouri soon with Circa Sports.
And those three together plus 292.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
it's not
great, but you know.
But that's where you put two stones on it, not just one.
Yeah, two units there on that one for sure.
Absolutely. And look, I think, again, I was going to say about Travis with you know, Taylor's going to be there watching, but we're home games are dwindling now, right? Each game that goes by is one less game that he's going to have at Arrowhead Stadium. And we know this is obviously the last year that we're going to see, you know, Travis Kelce out there. That's why I think these games start to take on more significance. Now, September is over, guys. You know, we've only got what? We've had two home games already on the docket. This is our third.
Mm-hmm.
How many home games do we have this year?
We
need
three in a row.
Yeah. But I mean, for Travis's standpoint, like the games are dwindling. There's less and less and less moments that he can have at Arrowhead Stadium. And if they don't end up getting that number one seed, maybe there's no those moments at Arrowhead Stadium in the postseason. And so these regular season games, I would imagine, and maybe I'm wrong by this, and maybe this is just me being a 48-year-old male and having two kids that are ready to go to college and I'm being sentimental in my life, but I would imagine, like, if you're Travis Kelce right now, you're looking at these games and you're thinking, man, I don't have many more opportunities on this field, in this stadium, in front of these fans. I want to maximize everything. And I also think that's part of the reason why he's had the frustration that he's had on the sidelines. I'm not trying to make excuses or anything like that for behavior. You have to control that. But I think Travis Kelce wanted the season to be so perfect and so good and so right, and it just hasn't been to start this season. That's why I think there is that frustration. And Dusty, I would have had him three of the first five games if he would have caught that ball against the Philadelphia Eagles as well and not turned that into that 14-point swing.
And that would have been our second parlay that would have hit in 4 weeks.
Exactly. Yep. And so, you know, so the Travis Kelce touchdown, I know our boss is probably rolling his eyes that I pick it every week, but when he scores, do you know how my phone blows up? Like it's insane. Everybody wants to see Travis Kelce do this and score and have these memories, because that's what this is about for him. You're creating those memories. You want that last year to be that one where you sit back and go, man, I felt good about playing that last year. And you know what? I could probably play one more, but I'm not going to. I'm going to leave on this high note. And so I think right now with where Travis is, at least this is where I would be. I'd be out there, man. I'd be all sentimental, all in my feels, and be like, I just want to go out there and dominate for these fans that have been so supportive of me over these, you know, and he is doing all of that. And I think that's why it's gone a little bit too far with him, because he's got a case of the try too hards out there, because he does know this is it and he wants to go out as a champion and a winner.
No doubt about it. That is, again, Chiefs parlay. We'll get-
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To you again for the Fesco and Dusty and Mac three-leg parlay. Kelce over 46.5 yards. Mahomes over 1.5 touchdowns. Bob, Kelce, anytime touchdown. Put it all together, and it's plus, what is it,
292?
Buckle up. Sean Smith joins us next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.